say George Bush should stop the deal to better protect the U.S. from terrorists. The Republican governors of New York and Maryland are questioning the Bush administration decision. They say they may try to cancel port leases. New Jersey Democratic Senator Robert Menendez said during a news conference, quote, we shouldn't turn over our customs service or our border patrol to a foreign government. We shouldn't turn over the ports of the United States either. Menendez said he and New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton will introduce legislation prohibiting the sale of port operations to foreign governments. Elected officials from both parties criticizing the Bush administration approval of last week's purchase of London-based Peninsula and Oriental Steam Navigation Company by Dubai Ports World. That's a state-owned business in the United Arab Emirates. Lawmakers say they're worried there are insufficient safeguards to stop infiltration of the vital facilities by terrorists. Peninsula and Oriental runs major commercial operations in New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Miami, and New Orleans. Health officials in India have been going door to door today trying to find people who become sick from a deadly strain of bird flu. It is the second day of a mass slaughter of birds in India. Black smoke filled the air as farmers burned dead chickens in a poultry-producing area northeast of Bombay. Officials near the affected area say one poultry farm owner died of symptoms similar to bird flu, but tests have not yet determined the cause of that death. Samples from at least eight other people who are hospitalized with flu-like symptoms are still being tested. This is Air America Radio News.
Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike, Kathy, and little Molly. They're all off on vacation. Hey, you got to take President's Day off, don't you? At least they do. I'm broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for joining us. We're going to have another great evening. We've got guests. We've got, I haven't checked the news in a couple hours. Has Cheney been indicted or resigned? Let me look at my engineer. No, he hasn't. Okay. We'll talk a little about that. I thought it was all over. I thought the Cheney deal, we'd gotten about as much mileage out of it as we could. But, man, it's so pathetic, isn't it? You got the victim going, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get in your way and get you shot and cause you all these problems. It was one of the worst days of my life. I'll never forget it. I wonder if it was as bad a day for Cheney as when he thought he had lost his fifth Vietnam-era draft deferment. Could have been. All right, if you'd like to call in, we'd like to hear from you. 866-303-2270. I'm using that royal pronoun, we, aren't I? I mean, we have an engineer here, but it's just me. So then it means it's me and you. So I'd like to hear from you, I guess, is the appropriate way. And our we, though, is our staff in New York. Justin's there, Dee's there, JLB in a little while. So please join us on the Air America Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. If you'd like to go to my website, peterwerby.com, PETERWERBE.com. And I was going to play that Aerosmith-like song, Cheney's Got a Gun. And I talked about it with people at Air America, and they said, yeah, it's been played a lot, but I don't know. I kind of like to play it. But I don't, if you're just tired of it, so maybe we could do a little voting or something. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to be a little bit of a rock dog for this to really resonate. I mean, the song is funny in and of itself, but it's an Aerosmith-like song. The Aerosmith song is Cheney Got a Gun. This is Cheney Got a Gun. So if you'd like to hear it, give us a shout in some way or other. 866-303-2270. You can just say, play it, and hang up, and they'll understand. Or say, play it, thank you, goodbye. That's probably a little nicer to do. Or if you'd like to hear it, you can write me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. If you don't give a damn, the hell with it. If you've heard it a couple of times, I know Mike's played it. It's been around, but it's pretty funny. And it's on my website, too. You can just, if you heard it enough times, you want to download it, it's there. All right, we're going to have some guests at 34 minutes after the hour. It's the National Lawyers Guild, Marjorie Cohn, is going to talk about the Bush trial for crimes against humanity. So there, she's going to give us a full report on that. That occurred a little while ago. And then next hour, we're going to be speaking with Jeff Lays. Jeff Lays is one of five peace activists who are currently taking part in a 40-day fast in Washington. It's part of a series of activities called the Winter of Our Discontent, focusing on the ending the U.S. occupation of Iraq. And also we'll get Granny D in here to make a pithy comment. And if you don't have a lisp, it's about the same thing as well. All right, so all that's ahead on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. I hardly know where to start first. I don't know why this attracts me the most. Yeah, I there's something about these right-wingers. Just what a bunch of psychos they are. And I know Al Franken, he reads a lot of their email and gets a big boot out of it. Probably some of them write in just because they know he's going to read it. I don't like to encourage them. I'd like to think that they're like in some anger management session or something. So how can you tell that they're angry? You know, they're one of the things you ever hear, they turned our psychology. You know, we invented psychology and psychiatry and all that, the left, to try to help people. You know, they're not real big on helping people. But we tried to figure out, what's the root of human misery? So we started the whole discipline of therapy. How can we make people a little more satisfied, a little more happier, a little less depressed? So we're always talking about the rage that's inherent in the right wing. And hello, can you say fascism, right? So they're really angry people at the core. I mean, well, really at the core, they're really frightened, scared people. But it comes out in anger. It comes out in this very, very, among men, very macho pose and all that. But they're just kind of scared little kids, right? And they never want to do anything that would threaten daddy or make daddy mad at them. So that's why they always submit to authority. So they're these big tough guys. They got NRA stickers on their big trucks, and they kind of talk like this, and stuff like that. Real tough guys. And yet they never, never go against authority. Because there didn't, would we talk about this? I don't know. I talk about it a lot because it really fascinates me. But they're psychological chickens, right? Psychoanalytic chickens. Because they're real brave. Sometimes they do incredible feats of physical bravery and courage and stuff like this. But would they ever challenge someone in authority? No way. They ain't about to do that, right? All right. So here's does he have a name? Yeah, Mike, although he doesn't sign it, Mike. Mike writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He signs it a proud American conservative, and it's all in capital letters. And you know in email what that's equivalent of. It's yelling. It's screaming. So he says, with left-wing dumbasses like you leading the way, we'll win every time. Too bad we can't clone Bush and Cheney for 2008. Whoever runs will see you in the loser's circle. Dumbass. Remember all you Beavis and Butthead fans? So that's what he's kind of like, but it's this rage. And usually what I write back to guys like this, and you're wondering, do I really waste my time? Well, I have to say it, I do. So usually I write back saying, why do I suspect that the type of shouting that you're doing typographically is indicative of the way you deal with people in your life, and that your whole life is just a series of angry confrontations with the people in your lives? And my advice, take an anger management course. Also, when he's with left-wing dumbasses like you leading the way, I usually write, too, I started off, well, boy, you really know how to hurt a guy. I can't begin to tell you how many over the last maybe year since Bushco has really been exposed as the absolute malevolent, anti-constitutional, illegal, money-grubbing racket that it is, how many email messages from conservatives I've gotten without a single point of substance in it. And in other words, you know what I'm saying? They don't say, listen, you're really crazy because here's what, to do. They are devoid of arguments. That's all, with left-wing dumbasses like you leading the way. Thank you, butthead. That's it. That's what I'm talking about, too, the fascist third. And we know now, though, that Cheney has lost 4% of the fascist third. Every Western industrial country has that at least, right? A third. So we could expose definitively that Dick Cheney was a cannibal. And there was actually five people on that hunting trip. And he ate one of them as well as downed about five or six Lone Star beers. And it wouldn't faze them in a bit. Wouldn't faze them in the slightest. Wouldn't bother them a bit. Not a bit. I mean, they are just, their life is submitting to authority. That's it. Now, that's why they need right-wing talk radio. That's the popularity of right-wing talk radio as well, because these guys are continually in a polemic against reality. So while I was driving in here to the studios in Detroit to do the Mike Malloy show, I turned on, and this is usually all I can take, about 2.5 minutes of this right-wing national talk show. And I'm going, whoa, man, he's just blowing right through all this stuff. Cheney, the fact that the ports are now being run by this company based in Dubai. What else? Just a host of things. So these right-wingers are desperate because their goose is cooked. And what they need is some sort of explanation is why do these people that we adored, I mean, imagine the hardcore Nazis, and it's April 1945, what do they tell themselves? Suddenly the thousand-year Reich is going in the toilet after 12 years at the hands of the Soviet Red Army. Well, that's where these people are at. So we're laughing at them, and they deserve to be laughed at. But they're frightening, too. They're not going to give up. These people, of course, will be the base, the core fascist base of the right wing. But also, these power mongers aren't going to give up easily. They're not going to say, oh, well, you got us there. Yeah, you're right. We violated the Constitution. We broke the law. We lied about weapons of mass destruction. We're screwing the middle class and to benefit the upper class. Yeah, we're going to resign. They're going to do something. That's what scares me. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270 on the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Definitely. This guy's put on a killer show.
Great. Let's go.
Wait. It's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remembered them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
Hi, True Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werby sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Hope you and Kathy and little Molly are enjoying your vacation. Well, what did I do? I said, should I play the Cheney's Got a Gun song? And I said, we'll do a little voting. Calls came in and said, definitely do it. And I just looked at my email. Oh, man, there's so many of you wrote in. I asked you. I know. I appreciate it. But here's what is disturbing to me. I couldn't bring myself to just delete them all because it said in all the subject line, play it, play it, play it. Yeah, definitely play it, play it. So I'm going to open every one of them, see if you also have a message. It's going to take me a while. But I'm not going to be multitasking. Okay, here is Cheney's Got a Gun on the Mike Malloy Show, the Air America Radio Network.
Dick Cheney's got a gun. Dick Cheney's got a gun. Safety's come undone. Squinting in the Texas sun. Shot someone. Cindy, she in bed alone. Better watch her liberal guns. Tell them that the war's not through. They probably put a hole in you. He tracked a little bitty birdie, hoping to blow out.
Ringing.
Dick Cheney's got a gun. The safety's come undone. Cindy Sheen better run.
Cheney's got a gun on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby spinning the discs on Air America Radio Network. Yeah. Great little parody song. I think it's number one with a bullet, right? And if you, there's probably lots of places you can get that. Just put that into any Google search engine, Cheney's Got a Gun, or you go to my website, Peter Werby, WERBE.com. And we better get some of you on the air. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt's in Greenwood, Virginia, wants to talk about Cheney. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I'd just like to put some perspective on, you know, the whole Dick Cheney shooting. I've been an avid hunter all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a former NRA range instructor. When you pick up a loaded firearm, you take full responsibility for it.
Sure.
And, you know, to hear this stuff where the news media tries to explain this as like, oh, it's just a simple accident. It happens all the time. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't happen that much, does it?
No. And when you hear, you know, I mean, I have never personally known of a hunting accident. You know, and I've hunted with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I called a friend of mine who runs a quail and pheasant hunting preserve,
mm-hmm.
federally licensed, and he's been doing this for years. He's never had a hunting accident.
What do you think, and here's what happens when you don't report it fully, and this is a hallmark of the Bush regime, of course, you start speculating. Maybe they waited so long to get the alcohol out of the vice's system.
Exactly, you know. And the other thing is, you know, frankly, you know, I've done my own hand loading and stuff like that, and I don't buy into the 30 yards away.
No,
not when you're shooting, you know, 7.5s or 8s.
What do you think about the victim apologizing? That's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, I'm sorry you shot me.
You know, I mean, it just, you know, and I feel bad. You know, I mean, where is the NRA on this?
Well,
I mean, as a hunter, to hear the news media going off like, oh, these are accidents that happen all the time if you do the sport. No, they don't.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you very much, Kurt. I appreciate it. Let's talk to who can we do quickly? Kirk in Massachusetts. Go ahead. You got about 30 seconds. Hey, Kirk, you with me?
Hey, Peter.
Oh, wait a minute. You are. Like, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Peter, you like a smooth cup of chocolate.
Okay.
I want to talk about a website that a public news website. Independent news website that needs the money, innworldreport.net.
Mm-hmm.
Great website, founded by, I believe the guy's name is Lenny Charles, the head anchor, Mizan Kirby News. I forget the name of the co-anchor.
Well, Kurt, we will check it out. Right now we got to go. We'll come back with Marjorie Cohn from the National Lawyers Guild. Going to talk about Bush on trial for crimes against humanity. That's on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you on Air America Radio Network.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem, man. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Well, actually, they love to hate me as well. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. That was Kathy, and they've got little Molly, and they're off on vacation for President's Day. After this segment, we're going to give a little advice to the left, lovelorn. At least we'll try. Right now, though, I want to welcome to the Air America Radio Network Marjorie Cohn. Marjorie Cohn is a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She's also the president-elect of the prestigious National Lawyers Guild and the U.S. representative to the Executive Committee of the American Association of Jurists. She's in San Diego. She writes a weekly column for truthout.org, an extraordinarily important website that I get a lot of information from. Marjorie Cohn, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, congratulations on being elected president of the National Lawyers Guild. Wow.
Well, thank you very much.
That's absolutely terrific. Well, a few weeks ago, what was the weekend of January 20th or 21st, right? The International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration convened in New York City's historic Riverside Church. Tell us your role and I mean, what this was all about.
Well, in the tradition of the Bertrand Russell Tribunal and the Winter Soldier investigations, which helped transform world opinion on the Vietnam War, this Citizens Commission of Inquiry, as you said, convened in New York. 44 witnesses presented testimony in two sessions, and the witnesses included people who were injured by the alleged conduct of the Bush administration, eyewitnesses including independent journalists, people who at one time served in an official position with the Bush administration, the UN, or the UK, and noted experts in the fields relating to the charges in the indictment. And the charges were that the Bush administration is prosecuting a war of aggression in Iraq, is committing torture and indefinite detention of prisoners, is destroying the global environment by attacking the efforts to control global warming, and is waging attacks on global public health by enforcing abstinence only during HIV/AIDS pandemic, and also charges relating to the deliberate failure to prevent the devastation and loss of life from Hurricane Katrina. And my role was to present the testimony of former Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, who was the commander of the Abu Ghraib prison during when the infamous photos were taken, the torture photos.
Yeah, many which are coming out, more are coming out as well.
Right. That was my part, but there were also many other things as well. I can talk about the general preliminary findings of the judges. There were five very prominent judges, or I can talk about the Karpinski allegations, or both.
I suspect that people will figure out that these charges were all sustained. I'm interested to some extent what the effect was. I was in Venezuela when all this was going on, so I missed whether it was getting media play. I know when you mentioned the Bertrand Russell Commission in the 1960s and the Detroit-based Winter Soldier investigation in 1971, and the establishment was quite outraged, and these proceedings were denounced. How did this all play in the media?
Well, it didn't play much in the media, I'm afraid. Some of the people, such as Janice Karpinski, did some media appearances in connection with it. I did a few and some other people. But, you know, it was really kind of buried. And you might remember during the Bertrand Russell Tribunal that they weren't allowed to have it in the United States.
Oh, that's
right. Held it in Europe.
Yeah.
In this particular tribunal was held in the historic Riverside Church, with Martin Luther King Jr.'s portrait hanging in the foyer, and it was in that church that Dr. King delivered his historic speech in 1967, Beyond Vietnam, A Place to Break the Silence, where he opposed the Vietnam War and called for the removal of all foreign troops from Vietnam. And he said, a time comes when silence is betrayal, and that was kind of the theme of this really historic event, which was not well covered in mm-hmm. the media, and not surprisingly, you know, when I was just eating dinner, and I noticed that there's a new report now on the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. from Aruba. And although it's a tragedy, this is what the media focuses on.
This is coming back? Oh,
missing
that's great.
Persons, yeah. And when something as momentous as a commission of inquiry on crimes against humanity committed by the Bush administration takes place and the media was all notified, it's just really an outrage that people are not informed about what's really going on.
Marjorie Cohn, you mentioned General Janice Karpinski, who was the general in charge of Abu Ghraib, and you have actually an exclusive interview with her. That's at truthout.org, is it?
Right,
yeah.
It is. And she also repeated some of the same things in this commission. She talked about, first of all, Janice Karpinski, it looks like she was the fall gal, the highest ranking officer to be reprimanded and demoted, and everyone else gets off scot-free, including Jeffrey Miller, who brought the torture techniques from Guantanamo to Abu Ghraib, all the way up to Ricardo Sanchez, who is the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, who covered up the torture scandal.
Is she without responsibility, though? She was on the ground while all this was going on.
Yeah, no, he actually, Rumsfeld was considering promoting him from a 3 to a 4-star general. I read in the International Herald Tribune not long ago that he's thinking of retiring, but the government has great confidence in him.
No, I'm talking about General Karpinski.
Oh, Karpinski, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Sanchez. What was your question?
It was that she may have been the fall gal, but was she without responsibility? I mean, it was under her watch that this all occurred.
It was. She was sent to Iraq in July of 2003 to oversee 17 prison facilities, including Abu Ghraib. She didn't sleep there. She wasn't allowed to travel on the roads at night. And shortly after she got there, she was in charge of the military police. The jurisdiction over these infamous cell blocks 1A and 1B, where the torture took place, were taken away from the military police and turned over to military intelligence. Then Miller came in, and Miller came in to Gitmoize, Gitmo being the shorthand for Guantanamo, Gitmoize the techniques, the interrogation techniques. And when he arrived at Abu Ghraib, he said, you have to treat the prisoners like dogs, and if you think or feel differently, you've lost control. Beyond that, she was purposely excluded from all meetings that had to do with interrogations. She was kept away. And when she found out about this, someone sent her an email in January of the following year about the photos and the abuse, and she said, what photos and what abuse? And she thought, well, maybe they're taking pictures of prisoners behind the concertina wire. And when she saw the pictures, she just went through the roof, and she went into Sanchez, and she said, you know, I'm going to – she speaks Arabic. She was going to tell the Iraqis that they were investigating it, and she was sorry. And he said, no, you don't, and the whole thing was covered up.
Marjorie Cohn is our guest here on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby talking with her, and we're talking about the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration. Marjorie Cohn, you've looked at all of this pretty deeply, interviewed a lot of the principals. What was the most either moving or shocking testimony that you heard?
Well, there was shocking testimony from the Craig Murray, who was the former ambassador from the UK to Uzbekistan, and of course Uzbekistan is one of our partners in the war on terror. And he documented the torture of people in Uzbekistan, rape with objects like broken bottles, beating, smashings of limbs, and talked about the very close relationship between George W. Bush and the government of Uzbekistan going back to the days when Bush was had close ties with Enron, which we don't know if he still does. That was very, very moving. Moving testimony, and Murray said, you can't build security on evil. I don't believe torture works, but even if it did work, I'd rather die than have anyone tortured to save my life. Another thing that I thought was quite striking, and it actually came from Janice Karpinski, was a charge that she made that at Camp Victory in Iraq, the women's latrine for the female U.S. soldiers was pretty far from the barracks, and so they had to go out at night in the dark if they wanted to use the facilities. There were rapes and assaults that took place in those latrines, and so they stopped drinking fluids after 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
This
so
is you mean American
in the middle of the night.
Female and American GIs were raped by other Americans.
They were raped by Americans and American soldiers. So right. They stopped drinking liquids so they wouldn't have to use the facilities, and some of them actually died in their sleep of dehydration. And then she talked about a cover up where a surgeon briefed some of the officials, the officers about it, they were told, don't brief anymore, and Major General Wojciechowski, under command, under the orders from Ricardo Sanchez, actually said, we will not list the cause of death on the death certificates. And this is something that is really outrageous. I mean, the sexual assault has been widely documented, but this dehydration deaths and the cover-up have not gotten out into the public.
These are American soldiers that have died of dehydration?
These are American women soldiers. She said she knew of at least 3, and she thinks more.
This is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, the Bertrand Russell Commission and also the Winter Soldier hearings were, as you said, played quite a role in opening people's eyes to what the Vietnam War was all about. Yet this, as you said, didn't receive the kind of media attention it should have. Is there any sense that this maybe the effort wasn't worth it?
No, not at all. In fact, there was the initial findings were presented to the National Press Club in Washington, and they're going to come out with more details.
Marjorie,
findings.
You know, unfortunately, I just hear our music coming up. These segments are so short. Where can we go to find out more about this? On my website, for one place.
BushCommission.org.
All right, Marjorie Cohn, thanks so much for joining me and giving us just at least an introduction to what this was all about. People should go to that website, check more of it. Thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Peter.
All right. This is the Air America Radio Network, the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby, back with asking you for advice to the left. Lovelorn.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We'll be right back.
And now, back to Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you, Mike. Hope you're having a grand time. Peter Werby here, broadcasting from Detroit. Let's see, Reg writes in from TVNewsLies.org saying, hey, TV News Lies Radio did cover those hearings that we were talking about with Marjorie Cohn. That was the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration. So you can go to TVNewsLies.org. You can go to my website as well, PeterWerby.com, and find out all about it. Boy, I can just, you know, you can't kick this damn cold, can you? You know, I was wondering today, my Yahoo email is moving so slowly, and so is calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I say it slowly so you can email me if you like. All right, we're going to get your calls, but I do want to get some of you in on this. Remember, some of you do, that are listening to the show regularly, when I've sat in before, we were talking about whether or not you could be friends with or have a relationship with a right-winger. I said, I can't. I mean, I'm friendly with them. I can't be friends. I certainly couldn't have a love relationship. But I'm probably not even going to give the person's first name. He's a friend of this show and also a good friend of the my show here in Detroit. He says, could you give me some relationship advice? Yeah. Can a traditional Republican female who loves Bush and considers herself to be a Christian conservative make a relationship work with a guy who's a liberal who hates Bush and the GOP and, unlike her, is an atheist? This is the guy writing. That's the situation I'm currently in. Slept with a woman who I met a week ago at a local bar, and I thought her wild ways were politically identical to mine. I found out later she wasn't. I mean, if she's a Christian conservative, she's getting picked up in a bar and having sex? Question, should I continue the relationship or just end it? After all, it's just based on sex. Hope you can help with some good advice. Should I end it, yes or no? I don't know. You women might not like this, but I guess if it's just sex and it's two adults, I say go for it. But I think long-term relationships with people with differing political views. I mean, for one thing, I mean, I think that that being a conservative is like a character flaw. I couldn't relate to anybody like that, but you tell me. 866-303-2270. Here is Matt in Boston. Matt, hi. It's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, I, like a lot of people, and I'm sorry to bring up the Cheney incident again.
Oh, I love it. Let's milk it.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm a little tired of it. And I'm a good lefty and all.
Let's not talk about it. What do you think? Should the guy break up with the woman?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what's up with she's obviously got some issues if she presents herself that way and is willing to fall in the sack with a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would make me a little nervous, on the other hand. You're right, I hadn't thought about that.
That's a little troubling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But guys are kind of like that. I hate to say it.
I can't say I'd, you know, decide otherwise myself. But
I mean, did you ever run into a conservative guy and you think, these are minutes in my life I'm not going to get back, and you just kind of blow them off, where you there's an attractive conservative woman and someone you're engaged.
If it's a cute girl on the other hand, yeah. Kind of, I can work with that.
Yeah, that's
terrible. For a while, anyway.
That's terrible. I hope my wife isn't listening.
I won't say anything.
Okay, go ahead. So we don't want to talk about the Cheney incident.
Well, I just, you know, I mean, I feel like there's more to be said about it. And the thing that finally occurred to me today was just the amount of effort on the part of the right-wing pundits going into saying, this isn't news, don't talk about it, move on. And I finally kind of thought, hey, that must mean they're nervous.
Yeah, it's the front page of the Time magazine, the cover of Time and Newsweek this
week.
Yeah,
Newsweek. And what kind of struck me as pleasantly ironic about it is how much it reminds me of kind of the Fox News MO going back to the Clinton impeachment. You know, when people were saying, hey, you know, this is Clinton's, it's his personal life, it doesn't have anything to do with policy, you know, that's not a big story, you know, that doesn't affect the country.
Well, it's not why Cheney should be impeached, that's for sure.
Well, I agree completely, yeah.
Like, that was a waste of time for the Congress to take that up. If we, as the people and the media, want to bring it up, what the hell? I mean, I thought it was pretty interesting to talk about Monica and Bill. I mean, I stopped talking about it because I realized I was playing into the hands of the right wing, and they were utilizing it on a political basis, and they were willing to stop the entire country to talk about that, even to the point of bringing impeachment proceedings. That was terrible.
Makes me think that, as a matter of fact, this is a story that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, hey, it's not policy, it isn't affecting people's lives, but on the other hand, you know, the press has been asleep at the wheel for the last few years.
Sure, and also it is indicative that so many people have said. In fact, the cover of Newsweek says Cheney's Secret World. And this is supposed to be a democracy based on transparent decision-making processes, and instead you have this guy who's always meeting behind closed doors, always manipulating the truth, which is a kind way to say he's lying. And this time, what do we all think? He and his buddy, who he shot, were drinking, and they were there with women other than their wives.
Right. And if this is what it takes for the press to finally grow a spine and start demanding some answers from these guys, then I guess more power to them.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate your call. Thanks for calling 866-303-2270. Well, I thought this was going to go over big. I thought all of you were going to call in and help this guy out who's in the Midwest. And suddenly, he's got a frisky Christian conservative who he met in a bar, had sex with, and he wants to know, should he continue the relationship or just end it? Well, if you got any comments, I'd like to hear it. Maybe we'll talk about some inconsequential things, about the Bush administration giving away port security to a company from the United Arab Emirates, stuff like that. This is Peter Werbe. I'll be right back in the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here, and you can hear me, of course, on Air America Radio. If you're as fed up with the Bush crime family as I am, you need to go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, where you can get the new board game, Impeached, that points out the lies, incompetence, and stupidity of George W. and the entire Bush crime family. You'll have fun playing this eye-opening board game that dares to peek into the Bush administration. Impeached will challenge your ability to lie, cheat, and steal. I'm for real here. Order your game now at ImpeachBushGame.com.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Iran may still have one more chance to avoid international sanctions over its nuclear program. Russian and Iranian officials have agreed to hold more talks on Russia's offer to enrich uranium for Iran. That idea is backed by the U.S. and Europe. and it's considered basically a last chance for Iran to address Western concerns about its nuclear program before the meeting next month of the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency. That could start a process toward sanctions against Iran from the UN Security Council. Iran's foreign minister says it is time to end the violent protest over the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. He says, quote, we should try to cool down the situation. And he says freedom of expression must be exercised with sensitivity and people's and nations' values and beliefs fully respected. But in Pakistan, a radical Islamic leader who's been freed from house detention is calling for more nationwide protests against the cartoons. Students angered by the drawings demonstrated at a college in Afghanistan. Today they burned American and Danish flags and pictures of George Bush. David Irving has been sentenced to 3 years in prison in Austria for denying the Holocaust. The right-wing British historian pleaded guilty today to breaking a law that bars denial of Nazi crimes. Irving had said he had a change of heart and acknowledged the Nazi World War II murder of millions of Jews. He had faced up to 10 years in prison. He's been in custody since his arrest in November on charges stemming from two speeches he gave in Austria back in 1989. The Alabama church that was the scene of a 1963 bombing and the death of four black girls is now a national landmark. It was the scene of an attack that became a worldwide symbol of the depth of racial hatred in the American South during the Civil Rights Movement. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez spoke today at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, saying the church had been a catalyst for the cause of justice. He said, we protect this place for them, the four girls who died when a Klan bomb went off at the church. At least 24 people, including an American soldier, killed today in a series of bombings in Baghdad and elsewhere in Iraq. The U.S. command says the soldier killed today by a roadside bomb southeast of Karbala. In Baghdad, a suicide bomber set off an explosives belt in a bus in a Shiite district. Police say 12 people were killed, 15 others were hurt. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome to hour number two of the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby, seven for Mike, for Kathy, and little Molly. They're off on vacation celebrating President's Day. How do you do that? I don't know. I guess you just get the day off work. 866-303-2270. Last hour we were talking about Dead-Eyed Dick. And we also had with us a very interesting guest, Marjorie Cohn, telling us about the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration. And that sort of led me into thinking what I was joking a bit about this request for left-wing advice to the lovelorn. And we had a, where the hell did that go? Like that. We had a letter from someone said that they met this this Christian conservative in a bar, had sex with him. I mean, is that what Christian conservatives do? I think they do. I think this is just, oh, yeah, here it is. I think, they just... Very, very, yeah, some of them are true to their beliefs. I don't mean to say none of them are. But anyways, he wanted some advice, and I'm not saying where, what states, Midwest, and he met this Christian conservative, had sex with her, and then he's debating. Should I continue the relationship or just end it? After all, it's just based on sex. And I was kind of joking with a caller from Boston, you know us guys. But you know, I was thinking, imagine being in the sack with somebody and then realizing that they support what we learned about in the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration. They support those crimes? I don't think I could do it. I mean, there's got to be some stuff happening on the mail end, right? I don't know. Dean in Connecticut writes into calltalkyes at yahoo.com. He's got all in caps and with about 14 or 15 U's. Run! So he says no. Let's see. Cindy writes in. She says, I say, end this. What if she gets pregnant and becomes entangled, and he becomes entangled in a lifelong relationship with a Republican because of a kid? And how about a little mercy for any kid being born to a Republican mom? I wouldn't wish that on a tree rat. On a tree rat. She says, Malloy fans will understand that. And she says, I would never hook up with a Republican ever. I speak from experience. My first husband, Repub retard. Second, wonderful, intelligent, a man's man, a liberal. I'm much happier being married to a guy who agrees with my outlook on the world. Me too. I mean, I just couldn't do it. I just absolutely couldn't do it. Okay, Bush bringing his traveling circus here to my hometown, the Detroit area, and he has announced that the nation's on a verge of a technological breakthrough that's going to startle most of you. Do you believe this? I mean, now, he visited the firm of a man I know. It's called Ovonix, Stanley Ovshinsky. And Stan Ovshinsky is an incredible inventor and has all sorts of energy conversion switches and stuff. I don't know what the hell the name of it all is, but he's a pretty innovative guy. This stuff's been around. Stan's had trouble getting anybody to actually utilize it because it would work. And what would that do? ExxonMobil would no longer make those profits. Chevron wouldn't make those profits anymore. So less than half the crude oil used by the refineries is produced in the United States, while 60% comes from foreign nations, according to Bush. And he said some of these foreign suppliers have unstable governments. Gee, like Iraq? I mean, that could be. I wonder why that government's unstable. And Bush says it creates a national security issue. And we're held hostage for energy by foreign nations that may not like us, like Canada and Mexico. I mean, number one is we get our oil from foreign importers, right? Is Mexico, then Canada. So I don't know where they're at these days. But not too many countries like Bush. Now, the big news today is what has been reported very, very little. But let me just go to this Associated Press account here. Bush touts energy ideas on Midwest tour. Now, this is from the Associated Press. Listen to their language. Bush's broad goal is to steer the nation towards energy independence and away from what he calls an addiction to oil, a habit he says threatens the nation's economy and security. This is an oil man. This is a guy in bed with oil companies and oil countries that began this war on the basis of lies to be able to control energy reserves, oil reserves, and suddenly he's saying we've got to steer the nation towards energy independence. One of two things, for the really dim among you, he's had a change of heart. He's realized the folly of his ways. He's realized that petroleum is this toxic substance that wars are fought for, that trillions of dollars are expended in order just to ensure that we keep getting it, that it's poisonous from every step, from wellhead to our gas tank, shipping, refining, everything. Pardon me. So maybe he's had a change of heart. The third, the fascist third, maybe they can figure that's the case. The rest of us know something's up. We don't know what, but something is up. How do we know he's lying? He opened his mouth. He hasn't told the truth about anything since he denied that he'd been drinking anymore. Listen to this as well. Later in the day, Bush was to tour a solar energy plant in Auburn Hills, Michigan. This is the Ovonics plant, underscoring his push for investment in clean electric power sources. Now, remind me. I'm just trying to remember this, so you remind me if I'm wrong. He has cut back in this vicious this budget, this vicious attack on the middle class and the poor, this giveaway to the wealthy called the budget, the state that he announced in the State of the Union. So he doesn't have anything in mind like that. Well, oil prices leap after Nigeria attacks hit output. That's the big story. Oil prices rose 2.6% today after a series of violent attacks by militants in the Niger Delta that shut down nearly a fifth of Nigeria's oil production. Nigeria is the fifth largest importer of the United States. First, Mexico. Oop, I was wrong there. Venezuela. Well, he keeps pumping out the gas for us, doesn't he? Chavez does. Canada. And Saudi Arabia, our buddy. Then Nigeria. But here is what the Iran thing is all about. I know this is going to break your heart, but I might have to take some of my calls. Either that or go into my total godfather voice. I can feel that coming on. Iran and China have been discussing a major energy deal that would involve the swap of oil for technology. And if you haven't figured by now what this is all about in terms of Iran, here it all is. One of the most frightening articles I've seen in a long time is by Michael T. Clare, K-L-A-R-E. You can go to commondreams.org and search for it, or just put in Michael Clare, K-L-A-R-E. He says, if you had to date it, you could say our permanent energy crisis began appropriately enough on New Year's Day 2006 when Russia's state-owned natural gas monopoly, Gazprom, cut off gas deliveries to Ukraine in punishment for that country's pro-Western leanings. Now, what he's talking about is the increasing utilization as oil as a geopolitical weapon. I almost should just spend all of this. You're lucky my voice is affected tonight. I might just read this for the next 2 hours. But he says, here's what's going on, and here's what's going to create this permanent crisis. He calls them vectors. In particular, demand attention, a slowing in the growth of energy supplies at a time of accelerating worldwide demand. So we've hit peak oil production, or we will soon, depending on whose figures you believe. So there's going to be accelerating worldwide demand for it and less available. You know what that means? Rising prices. Rising political instability provoked by geopolitical competition for those supplies. We see that going on now. When we say that Bush is greedy, they're not in Iraq for greed. They're in Iraq for control of those oil reserves. I mean, sure, it's about money, but it's also who can control the strategic fossil fuel reserves. And this is what the neocons have been about for the last 8 or 10 years. And the third thing is mounting environmental woes produced by our continuing addiction to oil, natural gas, and coal. We've got ourselves a big problem. Nobody in this administration is confronting this at all, unless you think Bush is. Unless Bush has finally figured out that we're on the highway to hell, as AC/DC sings. How to get that going is one of our themes. But the crisis is of such extreme magnitude that it's extraordinarily frightening. I didn't even read you perhaps the most frightening parts of it, about talking about economic collapse. And he, Michael T. Clare, is not one of these Chicken Little sky is falling guys. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and I'm going to go cough my head off. In the meantime, you give us a call, 866-303-2270. The Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werbe here with you. Pardon me, and I see that some of you want to give left advice to the lovelorn. We'll talk about that as well when we come back. Air America Radio Network is what you're listening to.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here with you on the Air America Radio Network. 866-303-2270. At 34 minutes after the hour, we go to Jeff Lays. He's doing a fast along with four other people for peace. Can you imagine that in Iraq? Also, we're seeking advice for the Left Lovelorn, a guy that said he met a girl in a bar. Girl, that's what people are saying. A woman, please. A woman in a bar. What would a girl be doing in a bar? Met a woman in a bar, had sex with her, finds out she's a right-wing Christian conservative, wants to know whether he should end it all. Mark from Des Moines, Iowa writes, if the relationship is good enough to bring her to the left, then stay with her at least until she's fully converted. If she won't budge, drop her. Let's go to our phones. Go to Liam in Minnesota. Liam, what do you think? Should he stay with her?
Well, that's a really tough question. He wrote this in, huh?
He wrote this in, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you weren't able to ask any qualifying questions.
You mean like how good was the sex or something like that?
Well, no, not that. I mean, does he have anything else in common with her? Like, does he like Yahtzee? Or maybe, and what flavor of Christian is she? I mean, there's so many flavors of Christian. She might be a Catholic, in which case he better learn how to play bingo.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the thing. I mean, is there anything else that's in common there?
I don't know. I mean,
and
that's
I guess,
all we
I
got.
I suppose if she's just intolerable, he might hang on to her for, another week or so and then hang her butt in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, I'm not religious. In fact, I'm a non-believer. But there are so many Christians that I meet in the peace and social justice movement that are such decent, good, wonderful people doing so many good things for the planet and for other people that I might be able to live with that. I hope I never have to find out. I got a woman of long-standing relationship that has the same views that I do, and that's what I'd prefer. But, hey, what the hell. All right, thanks for yours, Al in Arizona. What do you think? Should she stay or should she go?
Well, what was she doing at a bar in the first place if she's a Christian?
Christians go to bars.
Was it the same night thing, like a one night thing at a bar?
I don't know. It sort of sounds like it, doesn't it?
Well, I think it takes a lot of, these days, to be a humanist, atheist, liberal, it takes a little thought. And I don't think it takes a whole lot of thought and character to be one of those kind of folks. A hypocrite like that. So I'd say the one-nighters are just fine, but as far as continuing the relationship, no.
Okay, thanks, Al. Appreciate it. Changing the subject just a little bit, here is Eduardo in Miami. Eduardo, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Peter?
Doing good.
Great show. Let's not change the subject just yet. I have just one question for this guy. What does she look like?
Well, that's a typical guy question. I'll tell you what I said. How good was the sex? I don't know, though. It's one of those things that seems good going in, and then at the end of it all, you realize you're in the sack with some woman that thinks that the war in Iraq is just wonderful. I don't think I could handle that.
Well, then maybe put it another way. Just you can always say, never miss an opportunity to screw a Republican. I don't know.
Yeah, they're screwing us. There you go.
I wanted to make a slight comment that this is getting Orwellian, and this thing with the United Arab Emirates buying the contracts to do the handle the shipping and six ports of the eastern coast.
Sure.
It was a secret deal probably done by Mr. Cheney and gang. But what's strange about all this, I think it was a Karl Rove Machiavellian move to get to save some of his people at this election in November. And the strangest thing happened about an hour ago. I think it was a Spanish radio program here in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest sycophant, George Bush, in South Florida is Eliana Ross Lehtinen. She's the one of the representatives from South Florida. And she's actually going to call for a committee investigation into that deal.
Yeah, this went down.
This blew my mind, and I'm going, wait.
Well, Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff defended it. He says, we have a very disciplined process. It's a classified process for reviewing any acquisition by a foreign company of assets that we consider relevant to national security. So the guy that gave us Katrina and New Orleans is assuring us that everything's okay here.
No, I'm sure everything is fine in their minds. But it's not just that. It's the reaction by these Republicans that have basically kneeled down at the altar of George Bush for the past 6 years and done nothing wrong, and all of a sudden they're doing this. Now, this is either a really smart move by Mr. Rove, or the people in Washington aren't just drinking on a hunting trip. They're drinking 24 hours a day.
Thank you, Eduardo. I appreciate your opinion. Hey, you know, this was not like an American company that was sold to Dubai. Previously, there was a London-based company called Peninsular and Oriental Steam Navigation Company. It was bought by the Dubai Ports World, a state-owned business from the United Arab Emirates. They're now controlling these major commercial operations in our big ports. And is that, in fact, a danger to our security? Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, why I say it like that is that Dubai is one of our big, did I say enemies? That was a Freudian slip. That we have bases there, and there are these great friends of America. Still makes us a little nervous, though, doesn't it? All right, let's talk to Bob in Wisconsin. Bob, hi, it's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Yeah, can't you hear Georgie right now saying, "You're doing a heck of a job, Churdy." Well, anyway, I've got a couple of quickies, and I know you're heading up on a break.
Well, you know what? I've got about 15 seconds. Give me one of them real quickly.
Well, tell the guy, drop her. I've got a girl that saw the Nixon film recently, and she said, "What's wrong with him?" I called her last night, and we're 10 years different in age. And
well,
I said,
I think you're going to have to say goodbye to her, Bob. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about a fast for peace in Washington, 34 days, and I'll tell you the significance of that figure as well.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at HeightMax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit for Mike, 866-303-2270. You know, one of the subjects we keep coming back to is how are we going to end this madness? Is it going to be through impeachment, through elections, through demonstrations, through Bolivarian circles, if you know what the hell that is from last night's discussion? And or is it going to be things like Marjorie Cohn talked about last hour, the International Commission of Inquiry on Crimes Against Humanity committed by the Bush administration? Well, it's probably going to be all of that. And we're now in the process of searching around for the most effective ways to break through our lack of power, because that's the way things have been engineered, so that the average person has very little power. And certainly the individual up against entrenched wealth and power has little they can do, seemingly. Particularly, though, if we remain as solitary individuals. Although solitary individuals very frequently have had impact on history. But so we're looking around. What can we do? Well, here's one thing that's being done. It's happening right now. There's a 34-day liquids-only fast to end the war against and occupation of Iraq. It's happening in Washington, D.C., and five peace activists are conducting this 34-day fast in Washington, and it's part of a series of activities called the Winter of Our Discontent. And Jeff Lays is joining us from Washington. He's the co-coordinator of Voices for Creative Nonviolence. He traveled to Iraq in February 2003 with Voices in the Wilderness and a campaign of civil disobedience, which existed to end U.S. economic and sanctions against Iraq. That was back then. Jeff Lays, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Good evening. Thank you for having me tonight.
So this is day what of your 34-day fast?
We are entering the seventh day. We began the fast on February 15th and are maintaining a daily vigil outside of the U.S. Capitol as well.
Mm-hmm. The significance of February 15th?
We chose February 15th as the third anniversary of the global mobilization against the impending invasion of Iraq that occurred in 2003 when upwards of 15 million people marched against the war in the greatest outpouring of what at that time was called the new global superpower.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what occurs to me, I was in, pardon me, man, I got one of these Michigan colds, that I was at the New York demonstration where probably a million of us were in the streets on that cold, cold day. And millions of us around the world said no to war, and the Bush Co. went ahead. Why, with all of those numbers, what leads you to think that five people taking part in a nonviolent fast for peace can have an impact?
In part because we cannot not do it. Even if we don't succeed, even if we were not successful in preventing the invasion of Iraq, we have a profound obligation to keep trying, using, testing every available nonviolent means at our disposal to bring this war to an end, both for the well-being of U.S. soldiers who are being put at risk in Iraq, as well as their families, and also for the Iraqis who are dying literally every day as a consequence of the U.S. occupation. If we don't experiment with different means of activism, you know, it'd be easy for us simply to say, well, we tried it, we failed, now we can go home and watch TV. We need to keep coming back at the issue time and time and time and time again, because real human lives depend on it.
Well, I was talking, as I mentioned earlier, to Marjorie Cohn about the Bush being put on trial for crimes against humanity, and they had people from ex-CIA analysts, they had former weapons inspectors from the United Nations, Harry Belafonte gave the one of the keynote addresses, and they got very, very little media coverage. Are you being paid attention to?
Thus far, the media coverage that we've received has been in the progressive liberal end of the media, and that truly is one of the difficult things in trying to break through with building a broad-based movement again that can challenge the powers that be, is how do we break through the mainstream, corporate-dominated, very consolidated media structures that we have. And so we go to alternative media sources, to progressive media sources like your show, mm-hmm. like public radio, the progressive end of public radio. And we just keep chipping away at that and keep building in our local communities with, or here in D.C. with talking with people who pass by our vigil site. It's a long, slow process doing that kind of organizing, but it's what we're left with in terms of, because of the difficulty in getting the word out through mainstream media.
Yeah, and also the fact that the democratic process in many ways has been itself has been closed down, that if there really was an opposition party, if people were speaking what the vast majority of people now, the other party, what's it called, the Democratic Party, right? If they were a significant force in leading the opposition to what's going on, perhaps your 34-day fast wouldn't be necessary. But Jeff Lays and four others are conducting this 34-day fast. And have you fasted before like this, Jeff?
I myself have participated in two shorter fasts of 17 days duration, once in Geneva last June, which focused upon a call for the cancellation of war reparations that are being imposed by the United Nations against Iraq because of Saddam Hussein's invasion and occupation of Kuwait back in 1990-91, and then again a 17-day fast in front of the International Monetary Fund this past September, calling for the cancellation of the odious debt that Saddam Hussein's regime incurred. Our position being that in both of those instances, the Iraqi people had no choice, no option in what Hussein was doing to them or to other people in the region, and that at some point in time, the international community needs to lift the economic boot off of the necks of the Iraqi people.
What happens to you when you fast for that long? You know what happened after 17 days. Is the body harmed after a while? It must.
After 17 days, I felt perfectly fine. I was doing water only both times, and I'm also doing water only this time. After 17 days, I felt perfectly fine, a little less energy than usual. My understanding is that where the risk level starts coming in a bit more is when you start getting up into the 30 to 35 day range.
Hmm. Yeah. Is there a way we can keep track of this? I know, pardon me, that there is a Voices for Creative Nonviolence website. Is that a good place to stay in touch?
That would be probably the best way to stay in touch. And that website is simply www.vcnv.org.
Okay, vcnv.org. Well, Jeff Lays, please communicate to the rest of the people taking part in this fast that you have a lot of people out here supporting you, understanding what the basis of your frustration and your dedication is, and thanks for being out there for us. And if
Thank
you're,
you.
Oh yeah, if people are in Washington, where can they find you?
We're on the west side of the Capitol, so the mall side of the Capitol, Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 2. And the one key thing, too, that people need to do right now is call their representatives and call their senators to tell them to vote against the additional close to $70 billion to fund the war for just another 6 months.
You know, I was going to say thank you, but then I just noticed there's someone up here that says that they think that fasting is a joke. You want to talk to them, or you got other things to do?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Freddie, you're on the air with Jeff Lays. Why do you think fasting's a joke?
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good. Why do you think it's a joke?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Why do you think it's a joke?
And I realize that watching all the things that have occurred, and I remember that pre-war, to make the story short, pre-war there was over a million people, you know, demonstrating around the world against the neocons in power.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other examples that I could probably come up with, you've got to hit these neocons in the pocketbook. How about 100,000 of us getting together and say boycotting DirecTV or Cyrus or Comcast? That would hit them right there in the pocketbook, or maybe Shell. Let's not use Shell. Let's use Citgo. You know, I mean.
So, in other words, you think this is not an effective way because it's not hitting their pocketbook.
Nothing that the public has done has been effective against this war machine, neocon war machine.
Okay, I got to real quickly get a response from Jeff Lays. He's saying essentially it's not effective. What do you say, Jeff?
The difficulty is if we take a look at where we're at now and look at the actions, the demonstrations, the protests that have happened, and if we simply say, well, it's been ineffective thus far, that it's been going on for 3 years and everything we've tried is ineffective, then we box ourselves into a corner, which is exactly the corner that the Bush administration wants us to be in. We box ourselves into a corner of helplessness, of hopelessness, of despair, and in essence of apathy. And we need, you know, who knows what comes out of a small presence, witness of this type.
Yeah, can we say Rosa Parks? I know you don't want to take that mantle on, but small acts by individuals backed by a community of belief can often create amazing results. All right, and by the way, Freddie, if you want to start a boycott, me and I'm sure Jeff Lays is all for it. The website again, vcnv.org. Good health to you, Jeff Lays, and to your to the others that are taking part in it. Thanks for being out there for us.
Thank you very much.
All right, the Mike Malloy Show is what you're listening to. I'm Peter Werby. I'll be back to get your calls. We'll be all open line till the end of the show, which is another hour and 15 minutes. 866-303-2270. You're listening to the Air America Radio Network.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
It's the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby from Detroit sitting in for Mike. And our number, 866-303-2270. Hey, you know, we always talk so bad about the Christians because we always identify them with these loudmouth right-wing Christians. And the operative phrase here is right-wing. Yeah, you know, Christians are a wide variety of people with differing political views. All the ones I know are all liberal or left. And now the National Council of Churches, they voted to sharply denounce the U.S.-led war in Iraq, accused Washington of raining down terror, and they apologized to other nations for what this country has done, the violence, degradation, and poverty our nation has sown. This statement issued the largest gathering of Christian churches in nearly a decade, warned that the United States was pushing the world towards environmental catastrophe with a culture of consumption and its refusal to back international accords seeking to battle global warming. Now, this is a quote. We lament with special anguish the war in Iraq launched in deception and violating global norms of justice and human rights. That's a statement from representatives of 34 U.S. members of the World Council of Churches. They say we mourn all those who have died or been injured in this war. We acknowledge with shame abuses carried out in our name. The World Council of Churches includes more than 350 mainstream Protestant, Anglican, and Orthodox churches. The Roman Catholic Church is not a member. The groups include the Episcopal Church, the Presbyterian Church, the United Methodist Church. Isn't that Bush's church? I mean, he got condemned up and down by his church, several Orthodox churches and Baptist denominations, among others. So these are Christians doing, well, how can we say it? What's Christian? Let's go to Mississippi and talk to James. James, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, those churches are giving aid and comfort to the enemy, Peter. Greetings from the South, deep South.
Well, welcome to the show, up here to the frigid North, where we are.
Yeah. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment. I heard a couple of right-wingers on the radio this morning. It sounds like they're trying to paint the United Arab Emirates as a secular kind of country, maybe, you know, kind of like England or Australia or something like that, nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I've been to Abu Dhabi and Dubai a few times through the U.S. Navy, and I can tell you that I did see a couple of churches there, but they did have the call to prayer, and we had set rules for looking at their women and everything, and they had the guys on the corners with the machine guns, you know, their police force.
Yeah, I forgot what the government is. I mean, it's run by an emir, I think, so it doesn't exactly have what we would consider a democratic form of government. Of course, it doesn't matter when there are allies, right? At least Bushko's allies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll tell you, they're very strict, and they are very Muslim, and it sounds like that's going to be the script for the, you know, the nation.
Well, does that worry you? Does that worry you, James, that they're in charge of administering our ports now or not?
Well, absolutely, and especially being in the deep South, you know how we down here say, what are them Arabs doing over here, you know?
Yeah,
it seems like they would be jumping up and down with their 12-gauge shotguns, not shooting at quail, but shooting, you know, at any Arab flag that comes pulling in the port. But
I think they're probably going to play it probably pretty low in level. Thanks, James. I appreciate it. Here's Bob in Dayton, Ohio. Bob, hi. It's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I called with a question. Somebody sent me an email about this port thing earlier. This is huge, quoting here. Some big conspiracy, Carlyle group, whatever. But I started whipping around on the Internet a little bit, and that's why I called, okay? This P&O, Peninsular and Oriental, is that it?
Sure.
Okay, it was bought by Dubai Ports World.
That's right.
Okay. They're a British company bought out by the UAE outfit.
That's right.
Dubai Ports World recently bought CSX, their terminal businesses.
Really?
CSX Transportation.
Sure.
CSX Transportation, the CEO was John Snow, who's now U.S. Secretary of Treasury.
That's right.
Okay.
It all kind of starts looping back in.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, CSX, Carlyle Group is the majority stockholder of CSX.
Is that right? The Carlyle Group, by the way, people, if you're listening and you don't know what the Carlyle Group is, just go Google it.
They own 300. They bought the majority interest in CSX for $300 million. Well, it might not have been billion. It might have been billion. I don't know the number.
Yeah, 300 anyway, million is pretty cheap.
Carlyle employs George Bush the Senior, Frank Carlucci, Jim Baker, okay, among many others. And according to what I'm reading here,
well, let me just make a comment before you go any farther. They have a lot of arms. They own a lot of armament firms. So when Bush, the current Bush, when he invades Iraq and utilizes all of this weaponry and it gets torn up and it's got to be replaced, his dad's firm gets more money, right?
Right.
So then they also, so they've done all this damage in Iraq, then they got to rebuild it, so then that's Halliburton.
This is lovely.
It's this nice closed little loop.
Thing.
Yeah, and who's paying the bill?
The American taxpayer.
Yeah, or let's put a name on it. I think it's a guy named Bob from Dayton, Ohio, and a guy named Pete from Detroit,
right.
Michigan.
In addition to employing those several fellows and many more of in the same vein, connected guys, they apparently have a long, very long-term relationship with the bin Laden family.
Sure, of Saudi Arabia. Of Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
The bin Ladens of Saudi Arabia
Exactly, which kind of explains to me how those guys got out of the country so quick.
Well, they did leave quickly, that's for sure. They have, the bin Ladens are it's kind of like the Osama's the bad guy, the family. I mean, there was these bin Laden chairs of, like, sociology at colleges. They had endowed a lot of universities and what have you. But, I mean, we're looking now, Bob, at a government that's 100% racketized. I mean, it doesn't have even the pretense of helping the people in a manner that one would expect from an elected government. Of course, it wasn't elected, was it? All right, thanks for joining us. Thanks for that information. Carlyle Group, never heard of it? Find out about it. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We'll come back. A dad of a 9/11 dad says the president's gone insane. I'll tell you about that when we get back. The Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby with you on Air America Radio Network.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
Jennifer Polsoni. The U.S. Supreme Court late Monday rejected a pair of appeals filed by the attorneys for condemned California killer Michael Morales, and it's now likely that he'll be put to death early this morning. The appeals have centered on claims that California's death by injection uses a three-drug cocktail that leaves the condemned aware as the final fatal dosage is administered. President Bush says the foreign nations on which the U.S. depends for oil imports know it, and that is what limits America's influence in the world. The president, traveling the Midwest to promote his alternative energy development plans, says the result is that the U.S. is held hostage by foreign nations that may not like us. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco wants to give New Orleans homeowners up to $150,000 each that they could use to repair or rebuild, but they could also use the money to accept a buyout of their mortgage and leave the city. The program would be funded from the billions of dollars promised by the federal government, but will need to be approved by Congress. Democrats are attempting to pull the plug on a deal which places operational control of U.S. ports in the hands of foreign governments. As Spencer Rain reports, the clock is ticking as are concerns surrounding a pending agreement with a company owned by the United Arab Emirates.
Port security is already vulnerable, says New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. With just 5% of the containers inspected, he questions the vetting behind placing key oversight to the United Arab Emirates.
It was the transfer point for smuggled nuclear components.
From Pakistan to Iran, Libya, and North Korea, he says, the Democrat and Senator Hillary Clinton are introducing a bill to freeze or negate the deal before it takes hold March 2nd.
This deal is a pre-September 11th mentality.
And should military conflict arise, crippling ports, he says, would be a starting point. At Port Newark, Spencer Rain, Newark, New Jersey.
Authorities in Rio de Janeiro have discovered the skeletal remains of at least 100 bodies in a dump just outside Brazil's largest city. The discovery followed a tip that a dump truck that was under contract to the city had dumped the bodies at the landfill, one of the largest in Brazil. Many of the bodies were in pieces and dumped in bags, and there are suspicions that a local cemetery may have shipped off the bodies that were otherwise supposed to have been cremated over the past 2 to 3 years. You're listening to Air America Radio News.
Hour number three of the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. Mike will be back tomorrow. Kathy and little Molly will be back after a couple days off. Actually, he was off last Thursday as well. And we're going to be taking a lot of your calls, although I want to get Granny D on the air. She'll give a 60-second commentary. Well, you know, when the New York Daily News, that far-right wing paper, starts criticizing Bush, man, you know that things are down the drain for the Rebukes, right? President's gone insane is the headline, according to a 9/11 dad. Peter Gadiel just doesn't get it. How, asked Gadiel, whose son James died in the 9/11 attacks in the World Trade Center, can a company owned by a terror-linked country get control of our nation's ports? Gadiel says, I'm a lifelong Republican. I think the president's gone insane. So now his bedrock support is questioning his policies. Remember yesterday I was quoting those figures of approval for Cheney? For Cheney, 29%. So if there's a fascist third in this country, 33 and a third, he's even lost 4% of his base, right? Two of the nine of the 19 9/11 hijackers were citizens of Dubai, the Arab Emirate, whose bid to run ports in New York, New Jersey, and four other cities were okayed by the White House, even though investigators have found signs that money used to finance terrorism flowed through Dubai banks. How the hell could this happen? Fumed Bill Doyle, a retired Staten Island stockbroker, whose son Joseph also died when the Trade Center fell. But, hey, I was reading earlier, Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff, he defended it. He said, we've got a very disciplined process. It's a classified process. Of course, most of their stuff that goes wrong is a classified process. We don't take a risk, said the man responsible for the Katrina fiasco. What do you think? 866-303-2270. Paul writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Cheney's Italian gun is worth between $7,000 and $18,000. He says a gun that expensive should have a people shield on it. What a repulsive character Cheney is. Just everything about him, just oozing wealth and power and privilege and arrogance and F-ups. That's the other thing, too. This is one of the, it was the worst day of my life. One of the worst days. You know. How could it be that range, between $7,000 and $18,000? All right, back to our phones. Here's Rob says he's pro-choice and pro-gay. You're pro-gay Republican or you are a pro-gay Republican?
Well, I like to, I actually describe myself, when I talk to my friends, as a pro-gay rights, woman's right to choose Republican.
You know, there used to be room in the party for people like you, Rob.
Well, you know, there really still is. I actually got prompted to call, and I've never heard your show before, and I started listening tonight. I've been listening for 2 hours, and I was, by the way, I have to tell you, you have very cool on-hold music.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you like it, particularly
kind
if you're there
like
for
a
2 hours.
Cool rock, house music, electronica thing going on.
There you go.
Really nice. But, you know, I called in originally because, I don't know, you seem to be describing conservatives in pretty stark terms. You know, they're crazy. They have, you know, they're
angry.
Insane. They're angry. And I don't know. I've been a conservative for about 10 years.
You're not a conservative if you're pro-choice and pro-gay.
Well, I think the point that I'm trying to make is that there isn't a lockstep in the conservative party. The fact that there are people disagreeing with George Bush over the this Dubai ports issue is, you know, it's clear that a lot of Republicans can disagree with the Bush administration. We argue among ourselves. I don't know any party that stands for everything I believe in except the party of me. And I think that's true for everybody.
So you're saying that you don't think the Republican Party marches lockstep with Roe, Bush, Cheney?
Well, isn't there clear evidence by the fact that the Republicans who are opposed to this Dubai deal?
Well, hey, listen, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. These guys got to stand for election in the fall, and they're afraid that Bushko is going to take them down.
Well, but the point I'm saying is when you make an accusation that everybody marches in lockstep, and then you talk about the Republicans who disagree, you can't have it both ways.
Well, you can in the sense that the exception proves the rule. And if you are a way endangered species, Rob, if you're in the Republican Party and you're anything like pro-choice and pro-gay.
No, all I can tell you, I don't know how many conservative radio hosts you listen to or how many conservative friends you have.
None.
Well, I think that's a disadvantage for you. I have a lot of liberal friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a former liberal myself.
Yeah.
And I think it's unhealthy for the country to have a – I don't think a single-party political system is healthy.
Okay.
I think the Democratic Party has to be healthy because I wouldn't trust a single-party state.
Well, that's what we have now, essentially.
Well, yeah, but look. Clearly, we don't. Clearly, half the country voted Republican, half voted Democratic. To say that we only have a one-party country now is to trash the political system.
I'm talking about what has been the results, first off, of how the Bush administration has functioned once in order, that its attempt to stack the courts with far right-wing jurists, which is done amazingly, to put into office, into the regulatory agencies, the people that should be the ones that are being regulated. You know what? We can't do too much more of this. I've got a lot of other callers.
Can I say one thing about, sure. about Cheney?
Sure.
And I think it's really I think you need to be consistent.
Sure.
When people always throw around, you know, Bush lies, you know, Republicans lie.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't understand how you can get up and make accusations or get on the radio and make accusations. I'm not attacking. I'm just saying.
Go ahead.
When I hear you say things like, well, you know, Cheney probably had five or six beers and was drinking bourbon. You're just making that up, and I have to ask if integrity is the name of the game.
Well with this one, number one, this is talk radio. But number two, let me say that when an elected official acts in the manner that that Cheney does, like for instance, going back to the secret energy meetings, one can only speculate. Well, one can speculate a lot of different things, but certainly speculate that he was in there writing a bill at the behest of Enron and these other companies that have subsequently ripped off the American people. In the same way, if he waits hour upon hour before letting the American people know that there was this accident, well, sure, you can speculate in the manner that I did. Rob, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. I know, hey, everybody's going to call in and say, you were too nice to that guy. You let him off the hook. How come that Mike would have ate him alive? Yada. All right, Mike will be back tomorrow. Here's Eric in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Anyways, it's a dirty job talking to conservatives. Give me a hand. All right. Although he seemed like a nice guy.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Good. One of the things I hate about conservatives is that they're so intolerant towards other people. And the guy says he's pro-gay, he's pro-choice. He's made it half the way there with me. But go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, you're being too polite by discussing just one of the things you hate about conservatives. I guess my main thing I hate about conservatives is their ability to just deny the truth in support of their partisan. And the interesting thing for me when I called you was right before the commercial break was over a couple minutes ago, I had been online and just came across the Yahoo. It was on Yahoo's News, the AP article on the religious groups finally doing something about denouncing this BS war.
Yeah, the U.S. Council of Churches, yeah.
Yeah,
they've been good. They've been pretty good all along. And I got to say, things like the United Methodist Church and some of the other ones as well have been pretty good on the war right along. I mean, opposed it before it even began. Bush's church, the United Methodist Church, told him that it would be immoral for him to invade.
But, Peter, isn't it just strange that the Catholic Church, I mean, if I'm correct, they signed a concordance with Hitler, basically giving them the okay, and they've spoken nothing about what's going on here. And
oh, no, the Pope was against the guy before the current guy, whoever the hell he was. He opposed the invasion of Iraq.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, John Paul.
John Paul, right.
Ratner, I'm not sure. Wasn't he a brown shirt in his youth?
Yeah, he was a youthful brown shirt. So I don't know how he does it. All right, thanks for joining us, Eric. I've got to take a break right now. Mike would have eaten him alive, and I would have loved to have listened to it. Maybe I'm too nice. Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. Peter Werby with you on the Air America Radio Network.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
These apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan, taking your calls at 866-303-2270. Just had a self-professed conservative, although he had seemed to have a lot of liberal ideas, pro-gay, pro-choice, and what have you. And I was saying, man, I can just wait to see the emails. Why were you so nice to him? Well, here's what someone sent without a name to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. This is what Mike would have said. He doesn't say this. This is what I say. Mike would have said, this Republican needs to know that Bush is not a conservative. He's a Nazi. Okay. Or something like that. All right. Let's. I guess we're going to continue on a bit with the question sent to us by a Midwestern man who met a Christian conservative, has a sexual relationship with her, and thought her ways were wild, but then finds out that she's pretty conservative, wants to know, should he continue the relationship? Here's Jan in Madison. Jan, hi, it's Peter Werby for Mike. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm from Dawsonville, Georgia.
Okay.
First of all, I was going to address what that the last caller was saying. I think there is a reason Democrats should make this Cheney going out and after a few beers and shooting someone accidentally. Which party was it that fought against the Brady Bill, which actually isn't a liberal idea, it's conservative.
Sure. This is JP, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We got the wrong caller up. It's okay. Yeah, well...
And then on top of they opposed the Brady Bill, background checks, but that's what those kind of things are supposed to stop. You know, if someone is reckless with a gun, they should own a gun.
Well, we didn't know in advance that Cheney was reckless. Now we know. Who's going to go hunting with him again?
But the guy was sort of making the point, well, why should we turn this into a political issue? Well, this is why. Because, the same people who oppose background checks and the Brady Bill are saying, well, Cheney can be reckless with a gun, and why should we take his gun away from him?
Gotcha. Well, now, here's Jan in Madison, Wisconsin. Jan, hi. Sorry, you're on the air now. Jan, are you with me? Jan is not there. All right. Let's go on. Oh, there's something wrong with the phones, I'm told. Okay. Mike in South Carolina. Mike, you're on the air, I hope.
Peter.
Yeah, hi.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you fine. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Rob, your calling conservative is not only ignorant, he's stupid. But we're not going to go into that.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I mean... He didn't sound ignorant or stupid.
Well, he is, though. I mean, you know, anybody...
Well, he apparently was a liberal, so that does make us wonder about his intelligence.
Yeah,
I mean, if you go from left to right, you wonder, what's wrong with these people? What happened to them? Yeah.
Well, let me say this. I really didn't want to waste your listeners' time talking about him because we had a lot more important stuff to talk about. You know, back when we had the election in 2004 stolen from us, I tried to get Mike and a group of others involved. In a process that could really make a change.
What's
and,
that?
And that is, two-thirds of all economic activity in the United States comes from people like us buying stuff.
Okay.
And if half the people in the United States are Democrats, and we can get just a portion of those to buy into an idea of not buying anything but necessities, stop this rampant consumerism, and stop buying anything but necessities, you know, we can actually have a huge impact on the money machine. And you know, last month, the actual growth rate of the economy was down to 0.1% per month. I mean, we're just on the hairy edge of a recession, and it wouldn't take much, you know, to push this country in that direction.
Wait a minute, do we want to send this country into a recession?
Oh yes, you know, sometimes you have to throw yourself on the gears of the machine to stop it. But this is all we can do, Peter.
General strike.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, on a little less dramatic end of things, there is a website, something like buygreen.org.
But what would change the people's opinion faster about who they need to pull out of office if coming up on the November election we're in the midst of a recession?
Wow.
Hooray,
the workers are starving. The revolution will be here soon.
But look at this. All of what we've done so far, all of the protests, everything we've done, all the lies, everything that's happened has had absolutely no effect, really. I mean, yeah, the president's numbers are low, but he's not running again.
No. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Roberta in California, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? If I can stop laughing anyway. Arab security guards protecting our ports. Boy, yeah. Wait till the longshoremen find out about this. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, how utterly amazing. And Chertoff assures us it will be just swell. I mean,
yeah. Well,
how
one of the,
comforting.
One, yeah, one of the things, though, Robert, I want to make sure, though, that we don't, you know, here in the Detroit area, of course, there's so many people of Middle Eastern extraction, and they're the, you know, the bulwark of good citizens here. So I don't want to, and I don't mean that you are, but I just get a little worried that this will kind of build on general prejudice against people from the Middle East.
Well, it shouldn't do that, but
no.
I mean, you know, how about hiring companies, you know, from America? But how comforting, you know, how truly safe I feel knowing that Chertoff is in charge and says it's just dandy and that's just a great plan.
Well, you know, to move away from those cities, if you start hearing Bush going, you're doing a heck of a job, Cherny, or Cherno, or whatever he would call him as a little nickname.
It gets to the point where, you know, are they making this stuff up? I mean, is this really happening? I mean, these people exceed the absurd, the bizarre, the insane sometimes.
Yeah, if they're rich, how come they're not smart? Kind of turn the old adage on its head. All right, thanks a lot, Roberta. We're going into a break. Back to get your calls on the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. This is Peter Werbe in for Mike at Air America Radio Network.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There, thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here, broadcasting from Detroit. Mike will be back tomorrow night. And got some email in on our topics of the night. I didn't select these. They just kind of selected themselves. Daoud writes, what are we doing outsourcing our ports to private ownership, foreign or domestic? What's next? We privatize and or outsource our municipalities? Well, here in the Detroit area, they're going to privatize the Detroit Zoo. So it is happening. Our national parks, our NASA, sure. Where does it all end? Well, I don't know. I guess when it's all privatized. In order for the United States, says Daoud, to compete with the always lower wages paid to Chinese workers, should our prison system be handed over to Walmart? Huh. Geez, don't even let this out. They might be thinking about this. The inmate serving time may serve as a source of cheap labor so the U.S. can compete with China. And the other subject about the guy out in the Midwest, he picked up a woman in a bar, has sex with her, finds out she's a Christian conservative. James, who says he's lovelorn in Kenosha, Wisconsin, says he met this girl in a bar, took her home, and had sex with her that night, and she's a Christian conservative. Maybe the definition is changing drastically. In which case, he says, this is the advice, follow it where it goes. Months ago, I met a beautiful woman at a concert in Chicago, James says, but before the show even ended, we'd slipped into a heated political debate. Suddenly, she wasn't so beautiful. Although, since I haven't had sex since the Reagan era, I'm ready to overlook damn near anything. Well, you weren't, though. You weren't. You just kind of had that altered. Let's go to Jan. Jan's back. She's got some advice for our lovelorn in the Midwest. Hi, Jan. Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I'm nothing if not persistent. I dated a Republican, and it was a nightmare relationship. And whoever this guy is in the Midwest, don't do it. This is not worth pursuing, because if you don't share the same ideologies, the same outlook on the world, it's going to fail. It's doomed to fail.
Yeah.
There's no way you can reconcile that. I mean, your worldview is very important, and two people with the similar worldviews aren't meant to be mated. Now, I have a friend who is a Republican, but the way we stay friends is I don't discuss politics with him.
Yeah, that's always kind of difficult. You're there in a room with someone who is kind of cheering on the worst that this country has ever produced, right? And it's murderous on one hand.
That's true, and I have a very hard time not bringing it up with my Republican friend, but the basis of our relationship was never politics, so out of courtesy, I don't bring it up with him, although I am sorely tempted because there are times I'm so enraged by what goes on.
Sure.
I do want to discuss it. And here's my comment. There was a gentleman previous that talked about what good does a hunger strike do, or five people carrying on a hunger strike.
Mm-hmm.
And you rightly pointed out Rosa Parks. All it takes is one person to start a movement. Look at Cindy Sheehan. Look at Rosa Parks. Look at so many individuals and small groups who have managed to change the world. So the more I hear of people doing things like that, the more heartened I am. And the more it makes me want to participate and keep going.
Boy, I wish our guest could have heard you. I mean, he's, I'm sure, pretty self-motivated, but hearing that probably would have warmed his and the other four people on the hunger strike, their hearts.
My heart goes out to them, and they're doing a wonderful thing. I wish I could join them. I could sure lose weight and for a good cause. And James in Kenosha, tell him to come to Madison. That's where all the liberal, beautiful women are.
All right, Jan, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Here's Judy in Chicago. Judy, you're on the air. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, thanks. I was just listening for a long time, and I was going to say something about the relationship issue. Well, first of all, my boyfriend and myself are together because we are so much on the same page politically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to our core of who we are. And so I can't see how a relationship could sustain itself for any period of time. So maybe this guy is, it probably won't last for 3 dates. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But the other thing that I wanted to bring up to you was about Mary Madeline and James Carville.
Yeah, talk about an odd couple.
I cannot understand. I can't understand how their home life is at all. I mean, do they do nothing but fight?
I don't know. But put it like this. Now, James Carville is a liberal. Could you imagine having a relationship with James Carville?
Yes.
Okay.
I could imagine having a relationship with James Carville, but I can't imagine him having a relationship with her.
No, neither could I. Very frequently, maybe this is somewhat sexist, but I could imagine more men having liberal men having relationships with conservative women than conservative guys, who are always usually a real piece of work, real aggressive, real dominating, right?
Right, exactly.
So that might be a lot tougher. And usually they're, like I say, they're angry and domineering. So that's tough for a woman who knows that she's a whole person.
Absolutely.
I mean, actually, not even tough. It's absolutely unacceptable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
All right, Judy, thank you so much. In Connecticut, here is John. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Going great.
I want to thank you for doing this. It's really good to hear you instead of
it's fun.
The best of Mike Malloy, you know? Thank you. Anyways, to that guy, he has to dump her like waste. I can't imagine. You know, I can't imagine being with someone who just has like this rabid support of Iraq, you know, and perpetuating this war on terror. I mean, I have no right-wing friends whatsoever, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine having a right-wing friend. As I said, there's people I work with who are conservatives who voted for Bush. There's two guys. Imagine this. This is, I said last night, there's three rock and roll stations here, and two of the DJs have Bush stickers still on their trucks, naturally. And I'm thinking, whatever happened to rock and roll? Don't they ever listen to the music? This one guy, and I won't imitate his voice, some of you Detroiters would know who I'm talking about, but he'll play like Green Day, American Idiot, and with Bob Bush, and he'll say, it's hard not to imitate this guy's voice, is so distinct, but he'll say essentially, he says, well, it's great music, although I don't agree with the lyrics. All right, John, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. Kathy in New Jersey on the same subject. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Peter, how are you today?
I am excellent. Let's not say day. People will think that it's this is not live.
Okay. Anyway, my opinion is he should get away from her quick before she gets pregnant and the children have to suffer.
Well, hopefully, no matter who he's with, he's practicing safe sex with somebody he just met.
Well... who goes out and has sex when they first meet somebody?
I don't know. Don't people do that anymore?
Yeah, a lot more than when I was a kid.
More, you think? I don't know.
Anyway, I wanted to say that what the heck do you do when your whole family is just oblivious to or just doesn't care to what is going on in the Bush crime family, including... the abuse at Abu Ghraib, the rendition, the no oversight and no transparency, and they just don't, their answer to me is, well, I can't do anything about it, so, you know, why bother?
Well, that's the success of the Bush crime family, that people feel in a democratic society completely disempowered, that there's nothing they can do, and that's what it's like in a dictatorship. I mean, when Mike talks about the Republicans being the American Nazi Party, you might as well be in that situation if people that are supposed to be actors in democracy can't act. I mean, here they're not terrorized yet. Here we have just pulled the rug out from people in terms of any agency of empowerment. So yeah, there's a lot of families that have rules about no politics in the house. You can't you can't talk about it.
I really feel like the Bush administration has really torn my whole family apart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't. You know, I'm not in any position, Kathy, to give you or anybody advice, but make sure.
I feel lost.
Well, make sure, by one thing, make sure that it doesn't happen. I mean, if people, I, a couple of times I was over at some of my in-laws' relatives and kind of brought up something, and someone said something about voting for Bush, and I let out with a tirade, and I was very sternly told, we don't talk about politics in the family. And I went, oh, okay. I mean, well, what was I going to do? But
yeah.
I mean, my immediate family—they're highly political. My mother passed away about 10 years ago, and my dad remarried, and we didn't have any idea what her politics were. And we went to her house. She had a bowl of what I thought was candy, and then it turned out to be little buttons that said "Women Opposing War."
Oh,
wow!
My gosh.
Yeah. So. You know, that's good. I'm blessed in that manner. But if you but if you're not, I mean, just kind of butting your head against the wall just does create sometimes enduring bad feelings, and you got to know when to kind of, you know, back off, I guess.
Yeah, and that's difficult to do because, you know, you feel like these people are just, you know, they're selling off the United States. They're just They're cheating people and stealing the money right out of their pockets, and they really don't even know.
All right, thank you so much. We're coming to our break. We're going to come back. We got to do Granny D. We haven't done Granny D. We'll go do Granny D when we get back. Haven't heard Granny D? You will. She gives a commentary in 60 seconds, says it all. And your calls, too, 866-303-2270. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're looking for the ideal job, Mystery ShopLink has immediate openings for mystery shoppers in your area. Mystery shoppers get paid to shop, dine and drink at restaurants, and even go to the movies. Companies pay you to be their eyes and ears. You tell them how you're treated and how their prices compare. As a mystery shopper, you set your own hours and pick up your own assignments. Bring home hundreds of extra dollars. To qualify, you must be over 18, have a checking account, credit or debit card, and internet access. All you need to do is shop. For a small fee, Mystery ShopLink will have you mystery shopping in a few days. Call now and you'll get a $1,000 online catalog gift certificate. Order what you want. As a mystery shopper, you get to keep the goods free. You'll get the details when you call. This is a very limited offer, so call right now. Call 1-888-223-7979 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-888-223-7979. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-888-223-7979. Offer not available in Nevada.
Hi, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Final segment, Peter Werby in for Mike. You realize I've been calling Granny B, Granny D all night? Granny B, I'm so sorry. Granny B lives at MakeThemAccountable.com. Here's Granny B.
This is Granny B, and I was just thinking about apologies and bad days. Dick Cheney has said shooting a friend of his in the face was the worst day of his life. Maybe it was, but that doesn't explain why he took so long to talk about it and then would only talk to people in the media he knew would be easy on him, his friends at the Fox News Channel. Because if he dared face real reporters, they might have asked him why he picked up a shotgun after he'd been drinking. And they might have asked him why his worst day is more important than the worst days of our troops fighting a war based on lies, about a third of whom come home with mental problems, and the worst days of the parents of the young men and women who have died for those lies, and the Iraqi civilians who have died, and their friends and families. And they might have asked him about the worst days of the many innocent prisoners tortured under Cheney's leadership, torture that we keep finding out more about. What about their worst days? This is Granny B, and I was just wondering.
Well, thank you, Granny B. Thanks for joining us on the Mike Malloy Show. More of Granny B at MakeThemAccountable.com. Lots of great stuff there as well. And someone asked earlier how that Carville and Madeline ever got along. Tom from Ann Arbor writes in, how about this to explain how they stay together? Neither of them have any real principles, so there's nothing to fight about. Face it, they're both high-ranking political operatives that have risen to positions of control in our corporatocracy, and that is something on which they both can agree. Wealth, power, and access are the aphrodisiacs that kept those two together, from what I can tell. Eat the rich, he says. Now, a lot of you wanted me to eat that conservative alive. In fact, whenever one strays onto the Mike Malloy Show, Mike does eat them alive, and almost always they deserve it. But Rob, who called in from Utah, wrote this. Hey, Peter, I just wanted to thank you for giving me a moment on your show. If our goal is to create a better America, then we should probably be encouraging dialogue across party lines, and I appreciate your willingness to do that. Your women's right to choose, pro-gay rights Republican. Remember, he said he used to be a liberal. I think that's what we're still hearing there. And in how he can stay in a party of such intolerance and bigotry is way beyond me, because I think it's a lost cause, Rob, but thanks for your nice words in any event. All right, let's go to Joe in Utah. Joe, hi, it's Peter Werby for Mike Malloy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much for letting me get on the air with
sure.
you.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
I just want to say the fellow doing the fasting, that's just one of many routes to make changes, effective changes we need in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, this idea that there's one particular solution. For myself, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I've been involved in human rights, environmental issues most of my life, Native American issues. Right now, we're trying to stop the nuclear waste dump out in Utah, which is where I live.
Wow.
And I got fed up with it back in 2002. It became very apparent that politics and money are the real problem. We've got to get the money out of our politics, the corporations, special interests out of our politics before we can deal with the issues.
Sure.
So I decided to run for U.S. Senate. I got on the ballot in 2004. I didn't do any campaigning. I did it for my truck because I was busy building out a party that we started called the Being Human Party.
The Being Human Party. I like that.
Well, the whole idea is that, you know, and it came from the Dalai Lama, actually. In fact, I wrote a letter to him, and he responded back and indicated that he wants to be a member of the Being Human Party.
Really? We all should.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Well, one of our board members is an ambassador, a retired ambassador, and he was meeting with the Dalai Lama back in 2004, so he took my letter to him, explained to him how it came about. I had picked up one of his books called Ethics for New Millennium,
mm-hmm.
and out of that came the idea of the Being Human Party, which is basically, in a quote, he indicated in the book that before he was Dalai Lama, he was Tibetan, and before he was Tibetan, he's a human being, and that we all have a responsibility to each other as human beings that we hold in common.
Those are important ideals. Joe, we're right towards the end of the show. Give me a quick sum up.
Quick sum up is this, we have, in the last 2 years, it formed the Corporate Free Coalition idea, which basically, actually, the Republicans did that back in Abraham Lincoln's time. where we're supporting, and it'll start in 2007, but I'm running for U.S. Senate, so I'm going to kind of spearhead it in Utah, but we want to support candidates regardless of their party affiliation, so long as they promote world peace through nonviolence.
Any website? Any website?
Yeah, beinghumanparty.com.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that because, well, like I say, we're almost at the end. I'll check out your website. Thanks for joining us. And call back, maybe give Mike a little fuller idea of it all. Here's Franz in Amarillo, Texas. Franz, you're on the air.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, welcome.
First off, I was the captain of the guard for the California Vietnam Vets Memorial Watch Association.
Uh-huh.
Right off the bat, I steadfastly support Cindy Sheehan and all of the other fine people out there that have given their time and their energy and their sweat and their, in some cases, blood to try to square this all this up. I'm a Vietnam era veteran myself, 90% post-traumatic stress disorder. But besides that, it's rather bothersome to me to hear people out there call themselves conservative and then just flush our country and our people down the toilet. I continually have heard over the last several decades politicians of various ilk, regardless of what they attempt to wrap themselves in the flag or various other means, such as calling themselves a patriot, which brings to mind a quote, patriotism being the last refuge of a scoundrel.
Yes, isn't it?
That was Patrick Henry?
No. Somebody way back in England. I can't remember who at the moment.
Yeah, it escapes me at the moment. But I see nothing conservative about throwing young people's lives away. I see nothing truthful or honest or patriotic about lying to the American people.
Well, Franz, I can't think of a better note to close this show on. Thank you for that. I've been sitting in for Mike. Mike Malloy will be back. Kathy, little Molly as well. I want to thank all of you for your hospitality. Everyone at Air America in New York, you make it easy as usual. And when Mike goes on vacation, said he might let me back. So we'll talk further on down the road. Have a great one.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.